This is RSBNB Update, episode 310, recorded Friday, May 27th, 2011. It's the economy, stupid. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to this episode of RSBNB Update. I am here this week with the king of RSBNB and maybe a few other things, King Kola.
Hello, guys.
And Jay is also here from the content crew representing them. He's his first time on the show, so give him a nice warm welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
So, this week, updates, death hats. Let's start with the death hats. So when you first hear death hats, what comes to mind?
Team Fortress 2.
Okay.
Capital Punishment.
How does Capital Punishment, how?
Sounds like some kind of lethal thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right.
You know, the executioner head?
Oh, okay, I see what you mean.
Electric chair kind of thing.
Yeah, with the electrodes on the head or something. Yeah, I remember watching this thing on the electric chair and how it fries the body and stuff and fries it to a crisp, the head and the brain.
Lovely.
There's this show on Discovery Channel about execution devices. I really like that show. Anyways.
We always love your execution methods, Shane.
Anyways, back on track here, death hats for dueling and PKing in the wilderness. So, you know, these hats are, you think, you know, it's a good thing that JAGEX brings these hats out. You know, it shows what people are made of, and, you know, it gives encouragement to go be the best you can be in the dual arena or the wilderness. And, you know, what do we get a few days after?
Yeah.
Boosting.
Like, yeah.
Boosting. People are boosting their kills with their friends just to get up to the next range of hats. So, you know, this is the same thing that JAGEX does with everything from Dungeoneering to Barbarian Assault to these hats. You know, they test it in their offices and it works fine. Because the people in the offices aren't going to go boosting and whatnot. The people in the offices are going to be good friends together. They're not going to be idiots. So games like Barbarian Assault and Dungeoneering will work out just fine. But, you know, the real world is different and, you know, that this kind of thing is going to happen like this. So, you know, I don't know why JAGEX didn't have the foresight to see that, you know, there's going to be boosting with these hats, and maybe there needs to be some kind of limit on the, like, uniqueness of the kills or something, you know? What do you guys think?
Or perhaps killing the same person multiple times.
Yeah, that's what I meant, the uniqueness of it or something.
Yeah, the cold boosting thing kind of brings back memories of Call of Duty and those kind of games where it's seen a lot.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point because you do need in those games a certain number of kills to complete the challenges and whatnot. And, you know, maybe that's the reasonable reason why in Black Ops they brought in the currency format to just buy what you want, right?
Yeah. Did a pretty good job with it, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's nice, but, you know, the problem I found with that, I don't know how we're talking about Call of Duty now, but the problem I found with that is that there's no point to use any other gun except for the best ones, because the challenge is, you know, you just get the challenge, you don't get an unlockable, but
yeah, and then everyone just ends up using the same gun, and then it's really boring.
Yeah, so maybe everyone's going to have tier 6 hats or something, I don't know. Which require 5,000 kills and 5,000 plus dual wins?
Well.
Oh, well. If it works against them, you know, because if they all do that and they all end up getting the same thing, then it just takes away from how great it actually is, you know, because then everyone will have them. Right?
Yes,
and
exactly.
And they'll see them all around, and then they'll lose their cool, and then people won't wear them anymore. They'll go back to wearing whatever they wear.
I don't think these have any stats, do they? They're just purely for decoration?
Duelist cap. Wild stock helmets. I can't tell. They haven't shown any stats here.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they have any stats, so...
I don't think so.
You know, isn't it fitting that the Death Hats guy's name you get it from is Mr. X?
That is funny.
And the dueling one is Estocada. Yeah. So, you know, this is good, but maybe they could apply something similar to other skills, you know, or other mini-games. Like, I thought they were, like... You in Castle Wars, you have to get Castle Wars tokens to actually get the Castle Wars stuff, but this is just being successful, so... I don't know, is that the same thing, or...?
It's hard to know. I don't know why.
Well, Castle Wars is like, you get physical tickets, this is just like, keeps track of it.
Yeah.
Automatically.
But it's the same general idea, isn't
it? Yeah, the same idea, I think.
Yeah.
But the Castle Wars stuff is more useful, and I guess you can argue that the in the Wilderness and the Duel Arena, you don't need useful stuff because you've already got useful stuff in terms of the stuff you either win from the staking or from just picking up in the Wilderness off of dead people. So I don't know. I like the ideas of the hats, but the whole boosting thing, you know, I didn't really think it would be a problem. But then, oh yes, record of kills in the Wilderness. Bunch of people just killing each other. Back and forth. So,
When would you want to wear these if they don't provide you any stats? The only logical place that you'd want to wear them is as part of a skilling outfit or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? And who cares about combat when you're skilling, really? You know?
Well, you know, it's nice to look nice. Like, you want to look like you're dangerous when you're farming those herbs, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I guess so. Scarecrow your own crops or something?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, like, good idea in theory, but not going to work in the real world unless people actually stop boosting, so.
Estocada is the thrust of the sword by the matador into the bull in the final stage of a bullfight designed to kill the bull.
Okay.
So
dueling is like bullfighting, then.
I guess so.
And Mr. X is obvious.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so that being that, next up, the Draenor graphics update.
It's Us? Become, quote, even spookier, end quote.
Yeah, you know, with that, you gotta wonder who would want to name their fan site after a town like this, right?
Oh, Draenor. Yeah, it looks pretty dreary, but then again, it's always looked kind of dreary, you know?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, it looks like it's permanently in nighttime now.
Yeah.
That looks pretty cool.
Like, it's evening, and, like, okay, it's evening in Draenor, but next door over at the farming patch, it's daylight. It doesn't make sense, like, why there's these lanterns and the glow coming from all the buildings like that. You wouldn't get that during the day. So.
Of course, before the graphics update, if you went to the manor... then it would just turn to night, and then once you went back to the village, it would be daytime regardless, you know?
Yeah, so. But another thing, blue fog, does that make sense? Blue fog?
I don't know. I guess they wanted to make it something like Port Phasmati's, which kind of looked like darkness to me anyhow. You know?
Well, there's vampires there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but... No, I mean the ghosts there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so another thing, why didn't they apply the tree update to this? They got the old trees, but why not bring the tree update in as well? That didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it does look kind of funny with the new graphics and the light and the shading, and then you just have the old trees that have always been there, you know?
Yeah. Oh, even on this gate, heading north from the Wizard's Tower, it says Draenor on the sign banner. I just noticed that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say one thing about this, and one thing I did notice when I first went there, is that it actually felt not like RuneScape. It felt something more on the order of World of Warcraft or Star Trek Online.
Hmm.
The way, like the way it looked in terms of the buildings and everything.
Which means they've probably done a good job with doing it in Java, you know?
Yeah, well, RuneScape is a perfect example of what can be done with Java for anybody who says Java is horrible. But, I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, good job based on this. But, you know, nighttime in Draenor Village.
I think they should put nighttime in more areas, really. I mean, it's too day.
Yeah,
too much
you know,
day and too much
like
spring.
There's
an article on that we've had recently mentioning like it was always day and it was always springtime.
You know, if you think about it, the Ardoian marketplace where all the thieving happens, you know, that I don't know if that would happen in the middle of the day, would it?
Hmm. So, I think Canifus would look pretty good at nighttime, too, with all that, like, spookiness, the swamp, and everything like that.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess the idea is just to kind of create the different feeling about it, because I'm sure, I remember on the old Pokemon games on the Game Boy Color, yes, that dates me as to when when I was playing Pokemon on a Game Boy Color, but if you'd remember, the graphics on that were severely limited, so, you know, they just change it to a darker shade of color around, and then you get the feeling as if it was nighttime or something, right? So that's kind of what they're doing here, I guess.
In some games back then, even on the Nintendo, like the actual Nintendo, the NES, they had games that would just subtly shift from day to nighttime, so I don't see why they can't do it in RuneScape, just have it going from one part of the day to the next.
Yeah. I don't know. Well done, I think, though, so.
The graphics look pretty good, though.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the next graphical update. I always like the graphical updates and engine updates, because those give me the most bang for the buck, so. Anyways, that'll be that. Upgrades of this list here, does anybody have anything they want to highlight specifically?
Oh, okay. There's more make-all options.
Okay. Where is that?
Third point down.
Make-all for opening coconuts with a hammer and filling vials with coconut milk, as well as for adding feathers to bolts. Okay. Oh, and Plantex option for putting seeds of the same type into plant pots, and you can now automatically water as many plant pots as your can is able to.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah, that's a good update because, you know, it's always hard to know which ones you've already watered and stuff. So if you're able to know which one has been watered or just have them all automatically watered, that's really nice. So I'm happy about that one.
Crystal bows and shields can now be recharged to full regardless of their current charge, so you don't have to use them until they revert to seed form.
Oh, that's good. So I can finally go recharge that bow I used to get my fire cape way back when, and, you know, cause I've had this bow sitting, and it's, like, half empty, so, I mean, half full on charge. Because, you know, if something's half empty, it's actually empty, because empty times half is zero.
Yeah. Yeah. And bosses and monsters, some bosses and monsters have left-click options. That's really good.
Yeah, you know, like these things, I don't know why these are in a news post when normally these would just be slipstreamed into the patch notes.
Well, they look pretty, they're pretty good updates, though.
Yeah, but there's been better things that had just been put in the patch notes before.
Yeah.
So,
I think it's because people don't usually read the patch notes, but then they read the news posts, so...
Yeah, which is a problem. I always read the patch notes. Like, one thing I wanted to highlight here in the... Like, this item from the patch notes this week could go into this upgrade thing. The Trollheim shortcuts have been significantly sped up. The agility shortcuts there. They used to be pretty slow, and, you know, speeding them up, you might as well throw that in the upgrades notes as well, so...
I think it's gameplay stuff that they seem to be wanting to put into the upgrades area there. Whereas yeah, things like the color of the same world text on the friends chat, clan chat interfaces has been darkened, you know? Stuff like that is really, you know, superficial and doesn't really
It's very important, that kind of color thing, because it goes to the whole user experience of the game. And with an enhanced user experience, your users are more likely to enjoy the game.
I actually did notice that color upgrade when I logged in today.
See? So that color thing is important.
It is important. Does it make it completely better, though?
Yes.
I don't know. Well, I guess it just depends on what you think is better and what you think is just superficial that doesn't really need much mentioning, you know?
Let's see, is there anything else? No, it does not appear to be in the upgrades or the patch notes. So let's move on to the next, this thing that people are really going to be happy about. Golden armor that you could get last week from the lava flow mine. They've made it so that if you have any kind of rock armor at all, the chest plate from the golden mine there will have the same attributes as the Varrock armor. So if you have Varrock armor 3, your chest plate will have that same ability. So no need to worry now about which one you're going to choose when you go mine at the Living Rock Caverns.
Well, sounds pretty good.
Yep. And now this next one, and this last thing in the in other news section, log in with Facebook. Thoughts?
Oh, well, considering how many times I see my friends getting hacked on Facebook, no, I don't think it would be very good to log in with Facebook.
Well, it's their own fault then.
I don't see what's so wrong with typing in a username and a password. I mean, what? How is that difficult?
You obviously didn't read my article. Did you read it?
No, I haven't read it yet. But
read
still.
It and you'll understand. Jay, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't really want my friends to see all my, like, RuneScape achievements. Or is it, like, post to your wall and stuff like that? Or is it just for login purposes?
Right now, just login purposes. In the future, they say it could post to the wall.
I don't think it's really necessary.
Okay. Did you read my article about online identity?
I can't say I have.
Okay. Well, for anybody who hasn't, both of you included, that's on informer.rsbnb.com under the tech section. It's in general about online identity and how right now we're kind of in a big mishmash of online accounts and everything, and how a centralized login system vetted by something like a government agency to say that, yes, you are who you are, and then you could use that for tied to your Google or Facebook account, then use your Google or Facebook account to log into all these other sites, RuneScape included. And, you know, that would make you more valuable to JAX, and it would make it easier for JAX to contact you and have your account info and all that stuff like that. So, but with this whole thing with JAX's Facebook Connect, the idea with this is that everybody has a Facebook account, so it makes playing RuneScape easier. But at the same time, if you have already been playing RuneScape and you have a Facebook account, it will allow you to seamlessly interconnect the two, so you have one less login to worry about. So let's just say you want Facebook to be your login you use for everything. You use Facebook to log into RuneScape, use it to log into, let's say, Dig or something, and you just use the one account. And now, Kala, as you said, your friends get hacked on Facebook. Well, you know, then maybe they need a stronger Facebook password or something. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing with streamlined online identity. If you hack into one thing, then you hack into all of them, really.
Yeah, but that's why you need a strong password and have an option for a multi-factor authentication using a text message or something, you know?
I don't know. Things still happen. I remember we talked about Steam Guard 2 weeks ago, which ended up being pretty good, but...
Yeah, that's the same thing I'm saying here, you know? Just have something like that for oddball cases like this, you know? I haven't found anyone yet that really likes this whole connect with Facebook thing on RuneScape. I personally think it's a good idea, but...
Well, as soon as you click on it, it says RuneScape is requesting permission to do the following. Access all basic information, post to my wall, and access my data anytime, you know?
Yeah, you know...
So it's basically asking for complete control of your Facebook account.
But do you trust Jagex?
Do you trust Facebook?
Oh, I trust Facebook.
It's a double-edged sword, really.
I trust Facebook. You know, what was I going to say about this?
You're about to tell me why I'm wrong, I'm sure.
No. I mean, people think Facebook and Google are bad, but really they're not. So... I just don't see what the issue is with this. It's just a way to streamline login, so.
I still don't see how difficult it is to just input a username, which is already saved for you, usually, and then just type in a password.
You have one central thing, and then you have all these spokes coming out of it, and that can be your Facebook account. And that's the idea, a single online identity. And,
but it means that Facebook gets the monopoly on it, too, you know?
Well, you know, let's hope that Jagex brings in Google or Twitter or something, or OpenID even, you know? Let's hope they bring in some alternate choices to choose from. It doesn't just have to be one company. That's what I said in my article. It could be Google. It could be somebody else. It could be Facebook. Up to you, whichever one you feel like using. If I had my choice, I would use my Google account to log into pretty much everything. But most sites don't support login through Google yet, so I wish Jagex would bring in alternate forms here, but...
I prefer Google over Facebook.
Same.
Yeah, I think I would too, but not with saying that, I don't not trust Facebook, but let's see. Yeah, it says whenever you see a Facebook icon on RuneScape, you can simply click it. If you're already logged into Facebook and have an association, you'll be taken straight into the game. If you aren't logged into Facebook, you'll get a pop-up window that allows you to log in. You can, of course, continue logging into your RuneScape account and password. You know, that's one thing I meant to do. I meant to tie this thing up into my Facebook account here. So
maybe this was all the... remember all the polls a few months ago that we had about how much social media do you use or whatever? And they mentioned that Facebook was the most popular, so this is why they're going with it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you know, Facebook is the most popular. So, question. There's no button for this on the. On the Windows client, is there?
Let me check that, actually.
I don't think so. Like, if you have the downloadable RuneScape client.
Which I do. Let me just check it. I'll open it up.
I didn't see one last night.
It's loading up.
See, and then this is the problem where when you take this thing into Facebook, here's what you guys were saying. I can't find where... storing this info on my account. Like, where is the RuneScape connection? You know what I mean? I can't see it.
Well, like, what do you mean?
Like, I'm trying to figure out where I would go revoke this if I didn't want it.
Oh, well, Facebook has always made it quite difficult to do that. You have to go under account... on your top right.
Oh, yeah, I found it.
Privacy settings,
edit your settings for apps and websites. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for that digression there, but did you check the Windows client, either of you?
It's still loading up, but it just goes right into the Play Now area.
Okay.
Know? So it doesn't actually start from the main page, the client, so... I don't know, it's still trying to update for me because I haven't updated in a while.
I don't have it.
It just goes straight into it, so
probably not
something.
Yeah. Alrighty. Following up from last week, guaranteed content poll, what's my name, the result? Thalassus, the one I voted for, the hardest one to pronounce, was the winner.
Basically the only name that actually sounded remotely cool.
Yeah. I forget what the rest were, though.
Yeah, they all seemed kind of lame to me, except for Thalassus, so I went with that one.
Yeah.
No offense if you picked any others, but that's just my opinion.
Alrighty. So, the members questing weekend. People have been getting these things in their inboxes about signing up to help people for the questing weekend. I got one because I assume I have the full quest points. I assume anybody who has full quest points got one of these, but from the 28th to the 30th, you're probably listening to this on the 28th, they're going to be inviting people to help people with quests and come get help with quests. So if you're wanting to finish up a quest and you need help, join the Friends Chat channel Quest Lounge, and then you'll be able to get help from people who have all the quests done, and then help from your fellow players as well. So this is just another one of their community-organized events.
I got the inbox message, too, and I only have, like, 200-something quest points.
Oh, okay. So maybe it's some threshold, then. Because I don't think it would make sense to send it out to people who just had, like, very small amount of quest points, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways. Anybody else have anything they want to talk about in the RS update section?
Let's see here. What were the other options? There's Thalassus, Crackjaw, Sea Gorger, Deep Creeper, Lurker, Gergerex, Devastator, Shred Dragor, Gongalore, and Netripper. Yeah. So,
you know, I think Crackjaw could have been one that could have won.
Yeah. I don't know. Reminds me of Moose Jaw on Crack.
Alrighty.
So, that was the second. That was the second most popular option, by the way. It was Crackjaw.
That's good.
Anyhow,
I think we're going to move on to questions then.
I think so.
All right, we got one audio question this week from Warren. So here we go.
It was 100% undeniable fact that had Vancouver advanced to the Stanley Cup Finals, they were going to win. And now that they have advanced, that still remains true. So why would anyone still be cheering for Boston when that is much like cheering for them to be embarrassed if they do make it to the Stanley Cup Finals? Or do you think they will even beat Tampa Bay to advance tonight? And what do you think about NHL hockey in Winnipeg and other Canadian cities? Thank you from Warren.
Well, you two can debate this one out. I'll just chime in when needed.
You go first, Jay.
Well, the Boston game starts in about 90 minutes from when this was recorded. And I hope Boston wins, but if they do advance, I don't think they really have a good chance. But it'll be interesting to watch anyway.
It's funny how he mentioned that. If you're basically cheering for Boston or Tampa, you're cheering to be embarrassed. Hasn't Boston already had their fair share of embarrassment when they lost after a 3-0 series lead? I mean, there's nothing more embarrassing than that, and I feel really bad for Boston fans for having to go through that.
That was tragic.
Yeah, of course, the Canucks have never won the Cup, so that's pretty embarrassing as well.
Never?
No, never in their series, the Vancouver Canucks have never won the Cup. Vancouver itself has won the Cup, but not since 1915.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was under the Vancouver Millionaires. So
I should have kept that name.
Yeah, it would definitely put up with our culture of entitlement out here on the West Coast. I don't know. I think the series with San Jose and Vancouver was a lot closer than the scores seem to indicate. I think they played us pretty well, and after it was all finished, the story came out that about half the team was playing with serious injuries, you know? Like, This is what happens in the playoffs. They basically just get injected with painkillers and then go out and score goals, you know? Even
what
our
kind
guys
of injuries?
Did that. Well, you know, like broken legs, broken fingers, separated shoulders, stuff like that, you know?
Okay.
Only the very serious ones really stay out, it seems. It's definitely quite the battle. It's one of the hardest trophies to win in sports, really. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see if Tampa Bay ends up upsetting Boston tonight at home.
Well, who had the initial lead, or did it just teeter-totter back and forth in that series?
Kind of teeter-tottered. Tampa Bay won the first game, and then Boston won the next two. And then Tampa Bay won one to tie it up. Then Boston had 3-2, and then Tampa Bay tied it up again. So basically, Boston gets ahead a bit, and then Tampa Bay's come back to tie it up. So, it's been a pretty even series as far as I can see.
So now, who would be ideal for Vancouver to go in against? Which one would be easier?
It's hard to tell. It's hard for me to decipher, because as far as I can tell, Tampa Bay is really good at scoring, and they've got a really hot goalie that can steal games for them, but I'm still not sure about their defense. I mean, Oland and Hedman are pretty good, but otherwise, I'm not too sure about that. Whereas Boston, I know they're more physical than Tampa Bay is, but I don't know. They're pretty even, to be honest. What do you think, Jay?
I think they're pretty balanced as well. I'd say Boston has a little bit more defense than Tampa.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's pretty much equal.
So do either of you guys have any bets going on for this? With anyone?
No.
I don't bet on hockey unless it's pride involved.
See, we should have bet on the election instead of hockey, eh?
Yeah, much easier to predict that outcome.
All right, and then the second part about hockey in Winnipeg and the rest of Canada.
Well, I think it's about time they brought it back. I mean, they moved it away from Winnipeg and Quebec City in the middle of the 90s when the Canadian dollar was, like, what, 65%?
60 cents or so, yeah.
60, 65. Around there. Now that it's actually like up to 105, you know, it's actually worth more than the US dollar. Now they're not wanting to bring them back, you know. And it seems like, well, what it is it's demand for the game, you know. If you have a city of about 700,000 people, which is about what Winnipeg is, and you have them really wanting to come to the game, would you rather have it in a place with 2 or 3 million people that really doesn't have the demand, such as Phoenix or Atlanta, for that matter? It's hard to say. I think it's great that the Canadian teams are going to get their team, some at least one team back.
But
I think it's disappointing for the fans.
Supposed to be this week, or?
Oh, these types of announcements in hockey always take tons and tons of time.
Okay. So it probably will be happening then?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Most likely there's going to be at least one team going to Winnipeg, and it's probably going to be the Atlanta Thrashers.
And Quebec?
We'll have to wait and see. They still need to do some work there. And it really depends on whether a team is needing to be moved from the States rather than a place in Canada ready for a team, you know?
Right, okay. I see.
It basically all just comes down to Gary Bettman and the other head honchos of the NHL wanting to actually move a team. And they seem very willing to let teams move from Canada to the States, but they don't seem very willing to let them move back. So, it's something that we'll have to see.
It'll all have to depend, you know. And, you know, people in the U.S. think hockey, but I don't think hockey means the same thing to people in the U.S. as it does to people in Canada, you know?
I think that in certain places in the States, it does mean a lot to them, such as the eastern United States, I'd say, and places like Minnesota and Colorado, you know, where it always seems to be cold anyways. it's like they're honorary Canadians. But places like that, they do really love their hockey. So I'm not going to say that we it's our game and you can't have it, but... You know, places like Florida and California and the places like Phoenix that are in basically a desert.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense, does it?
I shake my head a little bit there, but, you know, if it works there, then why not? But if it doesn't work, then try something new. And that's what they don't want to do.
Looking into Canada, Quebec and Winnipeg, that's really the only places that we've got that can take a team. You know, Saskatchewan isn't big enough. The territories aren't big enough. Like, Yellowknife, biggest place there, isn't big enough. Atlantic Coast, I don't think that would be big enough either. So,
well, Halifax is basically the other possibility, as well as Hamilton and Ontario.
Oh,
but
right.
Other than that,
anywhere in Ontario.
There's not really much opportunity. Well, you have to go where the population is, right?
Yeah.
Victoria here isn't big enough for it.
No.
Not near enough for it. But Seattle or Portland, those are definitely
good
spots.
That could work.
That could definitely work.
So.
we'll have to see.
It'll be interesting. Alrighty.
What do you think, Jay? You've been kind of quiet.
I don't know.
Just
I think
chime
if,
in whenever you want.
There is a demand for it in like those cities. I don't see why they should like deny them for it, especially like you said, those southern states that don't even see snow at all. It's like always warm all the time, and I don't think there's much of a demand as much as hockey as like that Winnipeg and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. There was a Save the Thrashers rally that happened in Atlanta, and it drew 200 people.
That's it?
Whereas and the Save the Jets rally in Winnipeg drew 30,000 people.
Well, there you go.
I think that's a pretty good indicator of it.
Yeah, and I don't think they'd be called the Jets when they come back.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, because the Manitoba Moose that were the AHL team, basically the team that is trying to buy the Thrashers is the team that also owns the Manitoba Moose, and they're the farm team of the Canucks, so I know pretty well about them. But they've been promoting that Moose brand over and over again, so that it's basically a well-known brand. So they might just become the Manitoba Moose or the Winnipeg Moose or something like that. But I think they've been pretty clear that it's not going to be called the Jets. So, again, nothing's really confirmed, and we've been hearing about this for months now.
Yep.
Well, in the case of Winnipeg and Phoenix, we've been hearing about it for years now. Basically, as soon as the recession started. But, I mean, if you're drawing 6,000 people to a game, I mean, that's not good at all.
That's not enough.
No, it's not enough.
Do either of you guys have anything else on that one?
Not really, no.
No.
Alrighty.
Except go Canucks go!
I'm sure Jay wants to say something else there, right?
Bruins.
Yeah. Let's go Bruins, let's go.
Next one's from MidgetPro74. Hi there, Shane, Culla, and mystery staff member who is now known as Jay. I have a few questions for you today. First of all, how do you think it would affect the economy if bots were to be completely removed from the game? Would it be worth the economic crash? Secondly, if you could have any 399 skills that you do not already have, what would they be? Keep up the good work, guys. Sincerely, Nolan65. If bots were removed, not much would happen. But if the real world traders were removed, then we would see a bit of a change in some of the consumables. Like Rune Essence is the first thing that comes to mind. Might actually be worth it to go runecrafting again.
That's the problem I have with bots. It seems to devalue a lot of the items. and the stuff in the game, and the actual currency of GP, you know?
That's exactly the thing. That's like, we're in the exact same pattern that we had in summer 2007 before they removed the wilderness and everything the first time. So, you know, it wouldn't crash the economy. It would just shock it a bit into becoming normal again, if you guys know what I mean. So, you know, bots aren't a good thing. You know, you see someone botting, you got to make sure they're a bot, and then you report them, you know? Like, just, it's not something to be proud of. That's the thing I got to say for this question before turning it over to you guys. So, what do you guys think, Jay?
Well, I think, like, everything that's pretty much you don't really need to pay much attention to, like fishing and mining and all those, like, resource skills, like, they'd go up in price, make it worthwhile to actually train those skills.
Exactly.
Rather than the alternatives, like the lava flow mine and ivy, where you don't get any items from it. You might have more incentive to train, like, the real way, I guess, with, like, trees and rocks.
Exactly. And also, if they got rid of bots, you know, it would bring more pride back to being a fisherman or a miner or a woodcutter, you know? Because, you know, you can say that, yes, I got this skill. It wasn't botted. I actually spent the hard labor working and got this skill. That'd be another benefit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's kind of funny because when you think about it, basically, botters are... The real-life equivalent of botters are basically criminals, right? Doing money laundering, right? So, I mean, basically the question is, should we have criminals in real life locked up? Because, you know, if we take all the criminals in the world and we stop them from doing their illegal activities, it might threaten the economy.
Oh, that's a scary thought, isn't it?
Yeah. Really, well, yeah, I think took them all out, then it would bring more legitimacy to the actual economy, you know, so...
And the game in general, which is a good thing, you know?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
So, I think we all agree on that, right? Do either of you guys have anything about the economy?
Not really.
It seems like since 2008 or so, the economy is the... Just the phrase "the economy" is the best. It's the best way to complain about something. You know, it's like, oh, it's because of the economy. And both in real life and in RuneScape, I actually find this really funny. Before 2008, we really didn't see any of this problems with the economy in RuneScape.
It's the economy, stupid.
Yeah, it's the economy. Come on. So it's really funny. I forget whose
presidential campaign that was. Was that Clinton's re-election campaign?
I don't remember that far.
But, exactly. You know, like, the same goes for RuneScape, so...
Yeah. Actually, kind of funny. Kind of find it funny that the real-life principles and events have made it into RuneScape. But I think if you got rid of the bots, the economy would be better. Because then it would be real players straight trading in the economy.
Yeah, and then the same goes for legitimacy as well, so, I don't know. Jay, you got anything else on that?
Not really much more than I just talked about mining and woodcutting and those kind of skills.
Okay. For the record, "it's the economy, stupid" was a phrase in American politics widely used during Bill Clinton's successful 1992 presidential campaign against George H.W. Bush. And secondly, if you could have any 399 skills that you do not already have, what would they be? Jay, you go first.
Probably like runecrafting, prayer, and herb lore, just because they cost so much.
Okay.
If this question's like assuming that you just don't have to put any effort into it.
What would I go for? Prayer I've always liked, so I'll go for prayer. Hit points would be nice. And let's go with mining, since it's so difficult and boring.
Okay. You said hit points, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm old school.
Yes, I know. I still think of it as hit points as well. That's okay. I would go for
Constitution.
I'd go for runecrafting, prayer, and what would my third one be? Summoning.
You don't have to trade in it anymore?
Summoning. No, 85 mining's good. You don't need past 85.
That's true.
So those would be my three. Thank you for that question. Jay, you want to take the next one?
All right. Hello there, Shane, Kella, and Jay. I'm new to the forums and enjoy listening to your podcast. My question to you is, what is your opinion on level 3 skillers and why? As a skiller myself, I am often subject to a lot of abuse from other players just because I don't enjoy combat. P.S. I care about the player gallery section. I submitted my own artwork to Jagex, which I hope they feature. Keep up the good work. It gets me 3 hours of tedious skilling. Thanks from Devoke. I don't really mind the skillers that much. Like, it's their account, they can do what they want, but I don't think they should expect like specific updates just for them if they're trying to take the challenge of being a skiller themselves.
Yeah, and that's a good point. No one should expect specific updates for themselves. Not max players, not middle-of-the-road players, not skillers, not PKers, not peers. I think that goes in general, so...
Yeah. Generally, I don't mind... Yeah.
Okay, you go first.
Go for it. You go first. Oh. We're already talking.
Okay, then. Generally, though, I'm going to have to agree with Jay on that. You know, I don't care what people do with their account. Just as long as they're not annoying in the end. And, you know, being level 3 and getting a 99, say, agility, or maybe even mining, if you wanted to use the Living Rock Caverns, that might be more of an accomplishment, you know, because you only got the 10 hit points to work with. There we go again, dealing with hit points, as an aside. But, so, you know, I have respect for them, those ones that can do that, and... raise money without doing a Slayer, because, you know, I definitely think Slayer is one of the best money makers out there, and if you can make enough money to train something like Herblar that without doing combat, then you've done a really good job. So I think they take lots of work, and, you know, it's something I might have done back in the day, or might even still do one day. I think it would be nice to just experience the game from a different standpoint and just playing the game for the reason to play the game rather than playing the game because you own a RuneScape fan site, you know? that's the thing I've never been able to do. I've never been able to play the game as if I was just a person playing the game. I've always played the game with an objective towards something on the website in my sites. So, you know, it'd be nice to just play the game from that perspective. And that's a good idea. I like that idea. I just gave myself a good idea. Thank you for that question, Devo.
For me as well, I think that level 3 skillers are pretty cool. And the reason why is, well, Shane mentioned it, you have to deal with training it non-combat-wise and not having having Slayer open to you. But also, because you're playing the game the way that you want to play the game and the way that makes it most enjoyable for you, that's how it should be. That's how games are, that you're playing them to have fun. And if you don't like combat, then don't do combat. That's fine with me, you know. I think it's a good way to go about the game, you know. Me, of course, I like combat, and I usually don't do much skilling, so I think the maxed people that... the people with max combat that don't have much skills, you know, that should go the same for them as well, you know? It always brings back the old debate about whether they should show combat in skiller areas, you know, rather than a skill total.
You need to show combat because RuneScape is a game based about combat. Combat is the... if you were to put everything on a pyramid, combat would be at the very bottom of the pyramid holding everything up.
I don't think that's how pyramid graphs work. Usually the most important things are at the top.
No, I mean, like you know, like I'm sure you guys have tried to build a pyramid where if you remove a piece of something from the bottom, you know, it, like, collapses.
Yeah, and that's pretty much with every building. So you're saying that it's more like a foundation then, rather than
yes, that's the most what important I meant. Thing. That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
So basically, you need combat to do everything else. Well, I think that's not exactly true because
no. There's such like, things. That's how the game is designed, right? But you can do it without combat. It's just harder. So hence the good point of a skiller.
Yeah.
In terms of like money making, combat is a lot more effective than pretty much anything you can do skilling too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's another reason to look up the skillers.
Mm-hmm.
I like skillers. So, I wonder, does anybody have anything else on that one?
Nope.
Jay?
Do you guys like the player gallery section?
I think it's nice like it, to look at for about 5 minutes.
I like it
minutes.
When people draw their things without the anime eyes, when they actually make them look like real people. Anyways, thank you, Devoke. Next one, Pat.
Dear Shane, Cola, and Jay, this Saturday is the most anticipated football game of the year, the final of the European Champions League, Barcelona against Manchester United. Will any of you be watching the game, and what do you think the result will be? I think Barca will beat Man U with 2-1. Keep up this epic show. Many thanks, Metal Maniac 9. I don't watch football too much, but I have been keeping an eye on it, though.
I was going to say, with our in-depth discussion of hockey and that other question, you know, I think it would be kind of obvious what we're going to say about this one, but go ahead.
Well, I do follow it sometimes, and I was watching the World... Basically, the World Cup is when I watch my football, so... And I was cheering for Spain the entire way, which is kind of funny because they ended up winning it, and everyone told me that they wouldn't be winning it. So I felt vindicated after that. I haven't really watched a football game since then, so it's been a while for me. But I have been watching the scores of it recently, so I'm not sure who will win because I still think that they're both pretty equal in terms of skill level. Should be a good game. Maybe I will watch it if I've got time tomorrow.
Okay.
It's not even on too late in the day either. I think it's...
I don't really keep up with football or soccer or whatever you want to call it. It doesn't really interest me.
Okay.
I don't think it's on too late in the day, though. It's like 7:30 GMT time, so it's like middle of the afternoon for here, really.
Yep.
Sometime around then.
You know, I don't particularly follow this either, so I'm really not qualified to answer here, but I always remember hearing about Manchester United moreover than anything else, so I guess I'll just have to say them, even though I don't particularly have any empirical evidence to back that up. So... And, no, I don't think I will be watching it. Sorry about that. You know, I don't think soccer is that popular here in Canada.
No, they're trying to make inroads with the MLS, Major League Soccer. And I know that some people I know are Vancouver Whitecaps fans, which is the local soccer team here, And I know that Toronto has one, but other than that, I really don't know much about...
Yeah, there's not that much, so... I don't know. What about in the U.S., Jay? Any ideas?
In my area, like the New England, there's not much talk about it. I don't think it's anywhere near as popular as, like, the other sports, like baseball, American football. Those are kind of, like, the two big ones. And then you have, like, basketball and hockey, but not much soccer or football.
Yeah.
Yeah, Metal Maniac, I'm sorry we couldn't provide much discussion on that. Like, I provided an entire soliloquy last week about your thing about the politics of your country there. That relates to Canada, so.
we're just not European / South American enough for football here in the update, I guess.
Yeah, that would make sense. Alrighty. I will take this one. Hey, Shane, Cole, and Jay. This week I was using some of my charms with summoning and using a program called Screen Markers, which is a program that works kind of like a highlighter by allowing you to draw on your screen to give your miners a where to click and make banking and teleporting more efficient. I was wondering if you guys have ever used any of these efficiency tools, such as mouse keys, or if you have any other tools such as these. Thanks, Dark Aura Owns. I've never drawn on my screen for anything RuneScape-related, but I have used mouse keys.
I haven't used mouse keys at all. I see the appeal in them, but I've just never personally used them.
I've never heard of that screen marker thing, but I have tried mouse keys a few times, and I don't know, it's kind of difficult to set up. Just, I prefer training just like using a mouse.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to master using the mouse keys to move and everything. I found it's just easier to move the mouse and click for that kind of thing. The only thing I found really useful for mouse keys was like high alking and stringing jewelry. Or not even stringing jewelry, because you didn't have to target anything, but
yeah,
primarily just high alking is what I used it for back then. So, but, you know, there are other things like this, annotating screens and stuff. You know, that's an important way of the future in terms of collaboration and whatnot. Like, for instance, let's say you... I'm sure there are extensions out there for Google Chrome that would allow you to do this for a website. You just annotate a website, and then you have these people in your group, and then whenever they go to that website next, they're able to see the annotations you made. So yeah, this kind of thing is useful for a whole lot of other things, and I've actually written annotation software before, albeit for video, but same general idea. So, which was an adventure in itself, which we're not going to discuss here. A big adventure. Wasn't all that pleasant either. So, do you guys want to talk about anything else annotation related or being efficient in RuneScape?
I've just used my mouse. I've never needed to use anything else, but then I was never a hardcore trainer anyway, so.
Yeah, that's good, you know, like, that's the thing. Grinding like that isn't that fun after you do it for so long, and I said to myself, I'm done grinding, and I managed to hold on to that for most of the stuff aside from mining, so I'm happy with that. So. Thank you, Dark Aura. Let's get Jay to take this last one. Read it.
Alright. Hi, guys. I'm back and obnoxious as ever. I just wanted to ask what live podcast streaming provider you use. Me and my friends are thinking about doing one, and I can't find one. Is it easy to use? What's its pricing, and how do you do it? That's about it. Your voice in the darkness, Zach, a.k.a. That's Zach.
Well, there's multiple pegs to the way our SBMB update is delivered. We host all the files on our web server because we have an insane amount of bandwidth, and if it wasn't for the update, you know, we wouldn't even be using hardly any bandwidth, so we just have lots of bandwidth, so we host it ourselves. But if you don't have that ability, you would be interested in checking out a provider that we used in the beginning. It's called Libsyn. Libsyn.com, I believe. I think they're still in business. Basically, what they do is they specialize in podcast hosting, and what you do is you just say, how many episodes a month are you going to be doing? And then the idea is that you just get this amount of space, like 250 megabytes a month, say, and then you can use that space, and you don't have to pay for bandwidth. So 250 megabytes a month is only $15 a month you pay for hosting your podcast. So it's a good deal.
Sounds pretty good.
And then if you're looking for something live, the best courses of action I have for that are just to pipe audio into something like Ustream or Stick'Em rather than trying to run a server or something, because that just makes it so much easier if you can just use one of those live streaming providers. And yes, they do work for just audio only, That's what we did way back when, but we had some problems with the administration of it, so we switched over to our own server for that, Mumble, which provides decent enough quality, actually, so we're quite happy with what we got for that. Zach, if you have any specific questions about hosting podcasts or whatever, feel free to send me a PM on the forums about that. Alrighty. Now this is the time of the show where I remind you that you can send your questions into the show. Next week we are doing something a little bit different. Next week we are doing an experiment and we are doing audio questions only. So that means no text questions. So you have three ways to send in an audio question. The first way, what Warren did, is you can record an MP3 file on your computer or iPod or whatever and then email it to questions@rsbnb.com. The second way is to phone our phone number, which is, does anybody know?
I forget it.
No, it was off my head.
571-572-2632, which conveniently can be remembered as 571-57-BNB. And that's a number from Virginia in the U.S. If you don't have a calling plan, you might incur a fee. And the third way that's new, if you have Skype, is you can add the user rsbnbupdate, no spaces, on Skype, and then call that user, and it will answer with a voicemail, and you can leave your question there. So that's the word rsbnbupdate, all one word, no exclamation point at the end. Notes about these three methods will be in the questions topic for 311 next week.
Cool.
Yeah, it's always... we're gonna try audio only. We want to see if we can get it up to 10 or so, the usual number. We've done 5 before, but we want more. So, audio questions only next week. Alrighty, time for tech news. First up, is the URL bar dead? Jay, which browser do you use?
I use Firefox 4.
Okay. Kyle, have you tried Chrome yet?
No. I have tried Chrome. They're pretty much similar with the new like Firefox 4's interface. I think they tried to like copy the tabs at the top kind of thing.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, Kala, I thought we were making progress with you to try Chrome once we talked about Chrome for Angry Birds last time you were on.
I did say I would probably try it out, and then I never did get the time to do it because then I went away from internet for a week or so. So
you should give it a try still.
Yeah, I should. Whether I will though is another question or not, but I probably should do it.
So basically there's this everybody knows there's a development chain for Chrome and everything, and Chrome 13, this is when this is a feature will end up coming, is removes the URL bar. So that when you create a new tab, underneath the tab, you'll see just a tiny bar where you can enter in the address. And then when you click on one of those tabs, if I assume it will just pop the address down and then disappear after. So removing the URL bar. And then there's also something similar that Firefox, there's an extension that can enable the same kind of behavior for Firefox as well. So what do you guys think of this from your guys' perspective, removing the URL bar?
I don't really use it that much anyway, because most of the websites I visit, I have on my bookmark toolbar. Then everything that's not there, I pretty much have a search toolbar for. I think it's a pretty good idea. Save a little bit of space, I guess. But interesting.
Okay.
I don't know. I kind of agree with the top-rated comment on that article. It says, this article is misleading. None of the browsers are actually considering of getting rid of it completely. They're just temporarily hiding it when not in direct use.
Well, yeah, so, but you know, it's called getting rid of if you can't see it.
Yeah. I think it's, if it works, I usually just... sometimes I just use the same tab and then go from different sites on that same tab. So is there a way that you can actually click on it even if you don't open a new tab?
I'm sure there will be like a hotkey to pull it down, like whatever it is in Windows Command L on OS X.
Well, we'll have to see. But, I'm sure they'll make it some way that it's pretty streamlined.
I really like this idea, because if you think about it, like, when the internet was designed, it wasn't designed for people. People aren't supposed to be dealing with stuff like http://www.url:port number, you know? That just doesn't make sense.
Well, that's why most pages these days, you don't even need to put in the HTTP or the www.
But the web browsers have modified that to add that on when it sends an HTTP request. So that's good in that respect. But if we can get rid of the URL bar and just make the internet as if it was actually like a directory on the, like a directory that you go through typing through search or something, then that would greatly help. I think, unless you actually know where you want to go. It's just like if you're phoning someone, you know, you enter in their phone number. But if you don't, you just search for it, right? So maybe we can get down to a point where you're entering no more than 10 absolute URLs per day. That would be good, I think.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it works out. I like that they're trying something new, though. I mean, this is something that hasn't come up in the history of the internet, is getting rid of the URL bar, you know? It's always been there on the top.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, it doesn't make sense. It's just been around for convenience sake, because that's how it came through, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from a usability standpoint, if you can make it feel more human, people are going to be able to better respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, anything else on that one?
Oh, not really.
Nope.
Alrighty, next up, Apple has posted instructions about how to remove Mac Defender. Yes, Mac Defender, the malware for Mac. Basically, there's this piece of malware, you know, it initially would download itself and a user would have to install it, which, you know, that's kind of stupid of the user to do that. But there was another variant this week where it'll automatically download itself and install it if in Safari you have this little checkbox check that says open safe files after download.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I've been saying
Why would
since
you have
Safari,
that clicked?
It's default. It's default. I've been saying ever since Safari first came out with that checkbox, this is going to be the vector one day for a malware attack. And here we go. It is. So, if you're a Safari user on OS X, go into the preferences and under the first pane, uncheck that little checkbox that says open safe files after download. You do not want that checked anymore. You shouldn't have had that checked ever. Because that'll open pretty much anything from a disk image all the way to a zip file to this install package for this malware. And what's worse is the malware installed without a password. So, please do uncheck that checkbox if you have it checked and you use Safari.
Or better yet, just not use Safari.
Safari is a good browser on OS X, providing you have you don't mind it in terms of bloat. But you know, it's like Firefox, bloat like Firefox. Whereas Chrome is the minimalist thing. So if I wasn't using Chrome on OS X, I'd be using Safari. But another thing with this, in the coming days, Apple will deliver a macOS X10 software update that will automatically find and remove Mac Defender malware and its known variants. This update will also help protect users by providing an explicit warning if they download this malware. Doesn't this sound familiar, you guys? What does this remind you of?
User account control.
Yeah. Windows Defender, that kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know... And
so they're basically going to get rid of Mac Defender by replacing it with the Mac version of Windows Defender, which can be named Mac Defender.
Well, you know, it's not going to be a virus thing. It's just going to be a standalone update to remove this single piece of malware. That's all. Yeah. In this case, it's much more like Windows malicious software removal tool that gets downloaded every month and run in your Windows update. Basically, what happens is Windows Update downloads this file, it runs and removes any malware on your computer. So, you know, it's good that Apple's doing this. I didn't think it would be coming this soon, but I knew it would happen someday. And, you know, this is the point where we say that, you know, I think really OS X is a bit safer, but, you know, if you're a smart user, you're not going to get bit whether using Mac or Windows. And, you know, I'd pretty much go and say it, you know, for most users, it doesn't really matter which OS you're using in terms of safety if this is going to continue. Because these same phishing kind of schemes are out there on Windows as well.
Yeah. And more likely than not, it's because of the user's either lack of attention to detail or lack of internet smarts, for lack of a better term, these sorts of things happen, you know. You got to be careful when you click on a link, you know, where it's actually going to send you to. And I'm always wary of the shortened URLs, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's had one of those bit.lys, and then it will rickroll you or something, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, check out this new song I found, guys. Yeah. That's so 2007.
Yep. Isn't it almost time for another new internet meme like that to come on board?
Yeah. Well, we've had the Rage comics.
I'm thinking of something else, though. Something that hits mainstream.
Well, you can always go to Know Your Meme and look at what's come up.
Anyways, moving on. Obama appointing Twitter CEO to advisory group. So he'll be appointing, what's this guy's name? It just says Costolo. Oh, Dick Costolo. Maybe they didn't want to use his first name. Dick Costolo will be appointed to the National Security Telecommunications Advisory Committee. And he's the guy who became Twitter CEO back in October. So Obama will also be appointing Scott Charney, Corporate Vice President for Microsoft's Trustworthy Computer Group, and David DeWalt from McAfee. And these people are going to be, focusing on things like internet security and whatnot. So, you know, I think it's good that he's appointing people like this who are modern to these kind of positions, you know?
And who are actually in the business of, you know, security and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so this is going to be the next major place where people are, where the U.S. government and governments in general are going to have to improve on, you know, because it's only a matter of time before one of them gets cyber-attacked and loses a whole bunch of data, you know? So it's good having these kind of people on the team.
Yeah, I think if good things come out of it, then it's a pretty good idea, and they should do it for more areas, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, that's how it should be. Like, you get these people in government who know nothing, and that's the problem with it, so.
It's a good start.
Yeah, but there's still lots of work to be done, I think, in terms of this area, because, you know, it's an incredibly new area. Even with these people, there's no guarantee that it's an advisory group. There's no guarantee that this advisory group will have any impact, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
When you got people in the U.S. Senate, or had people in the U.S. Senate way back when, saying the internet is a series of tubes. I'm sure we all remember that.
No. It's not a big truck.
Who said it was a truck?
I don't know. That was Ted Stevens' way of analyzing it. It's not a big truck where you can just go and dump a bunch of things into and then go to the dump and throw all your garbage away. Basically, the reason why the internet's slow is because a lot of people are clogging up the tubes with things like poker sites and spam. Sometimes things get unclogged, after all.
Yeah, so that's the thing we're dealing with here. So it's good that was appointed. Jay, anything else on that?
No, just like you said, I think they should continue with appointing people in their own positions to their government positions that match up with that.
Alrighty. And this next one isn't really tech news, but it's something we talked about way back when the, when this planet was first discovered. But the planet named Jalees 581D has been confirmed habitable. Stable atmosphere, comfortable temperatures, and covered with water. So it could support life, but they say the fact that it could, that one side could always face the sun, its gravity is 2 times Earth, and it would always be a red sun. So, you know, it's not ideal, but it could support life. And then the only other drawback is that it's 20 light years away.
And that it would take us 300,000 years to get there with current technology.
Yeah, that's right. So, time to start researching the ion drive, I think.
Yeah.
And maybe send a signal there.
We need to start... We need to start researching warp gates and teleportation.
Yeah, you know, that's the problem. The problem is to create a wormhole like that, you need a massive amount of energy, and the question is, where do you get that energy? Like, it's proven in theory, but just a matter of the energy that would be needed. Mm-hmm. So, for anybody out there who takes interest in that, you can read the full article. Link will be in the notes at update.rsbnb.com. But this is, in a way, important because it's the first of many, because there is a satellite out there, telescope, that is going, that it has its job for looking for these kind of planets, and this one was found without that aid. So there's going to be many, many more to come in the next decade or so about this. But this is the first one, and it's really a major discovery. So I encourage everyone to take a read through it, even if you don't like the space program or you don't really give a care about what's outside Earth, just take a read, because it's important.
Yeah.
For discovery as humankind. Anyways, that's it for tech news. Next up, I would like to talk about Skill of the Month. Currently, Brian B. is still winning with 3 million XP gained. Second place is Adiv with 2.2 million XP gained. And third place is Rodsay, I mean, with 2.2 million experience gained as well. Just about 60k difference between them, so it's pretty much a tie for second there. So, looks like we still got a race for second. I don't think at this point somebody can pull ahead into first, so race for second at this point in the Herblar Skill of the Month.
It started off so promising, too.
Yeah, well, you know, they all do that, especially the money sink ones like this. Herblar.
Yeah. And two people haven't gotten XP. How dare you?
Yeah. And Jay, you signed up. You got 14k XP. Good job.
Yeah, pretty much just from, like, lamps and... I don't know. I didn't really try. Good enough.
Well, at least you got 16. XP.
Yeah.
Ranging God got 8 XP somehow.
Yeah.
Anyways, the June Skill of the Month has been announced, and it is defense. So, break from the money sink, defense, go do Slayer, and make some money back. And train defense. And that can be signed up for at rsbnb.com/skotm.
Yay. Well, this is pretty good. It's always nice to have a different skill up each month. Like, it's not another summoning one, after all.
Yeah. Or fire making. That would be boring.
Or fletching.
Could you imagine fire making for a full month?
No, I really couldn't. In fact, I could. I'd be able to imagine doing one skill for an entire month.
Alrighty, so it's pick time, Jay. Tell us what you got.
Alright, my pick is the HTC Thunderbolt, which is one of the new 4G phones from Verizon Wireless, currently available in the United States and I think some parts of Canada and Ontario. Anyway, LTE 700 network, which is the first Verizon phone to do that, has speeds up to, I think, 12 times faster than the original 3G. And it's running Android 2.2 with HTC Sense UI, has a 4.3-inch TFT screen, 8-megapixel camera, LED flash, and it also has a front-facing camera, which is pretty cool for just like video chatting and stuff. I think it does not have Skype enabled for that, though, but there is some other apps that you can use the video call service for. Not much more to say. It has 8 gigabytes internal memory pre-installed, and it comes with a 32 gigabyte micro SD card, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and GPS, and it has a 1400 milliamp hour battery and a Qualcomm 1 gigahertz processor, which is pretty fast. I have the phone myself, and it's pretty impressive compared to like my last phone, which I had the Droid. This is a big improvement.
Does it, what does the, in terms of megabits per second, what does the internet speed come out to when you're on the 4G network?
I tested once. It's not actually locally available, but when I did get it in the first couple of days, I wanted to see what it was like. So I actually drove just to get the 4G couple, like 20 minutes away from my house. And it was pretty nice. It was about comparable to my Wi-Fi, which is good on the go.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, greater than 10 megabits per second.
I think,
five.
Let me get the cap up here. It's pretty decent compared to the 3G that I'm currently have right now. Yeah, I'm trying to look for the actual speed comparisons. It's right
okay.
here.
Well,
10 times faster than 3G.
I'm sure it's good for normal people. I was just wondering for my own reasons what the actual megabit per second number was. But that's
all right.
I
got
later.
It. It's 5 to 12 megabytes per second on average.
Oh well, that's good. That's good. That pretty much means you can do pretty much anything you want with that speed, which is pretty much all you need, really. So that's good. What about the camera? How's the quality on that?
It's very decent. Never had an 8 megapixel camera before, so it's I like it.
Well, that's good. There's finally competitors out there to the iPhone and stuff, you know, because I remember for the longest time there was phones that tried to but just couldn't, but this sounds like it actually would be something really to consider over an iPhone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The iPhone 4 has a 5 megapixel camera, I think it is.
I think so. You know, I'd like one of those, but, you know, data here is so expensive. That's the main reason why I have not. So that's the issue, but sounds good already. Is
Looks
it just
like
Verizon, or is it also Sprint? Or
no, it's currently Verizon exclusive because they're, like, the only network to use that LTE technology as of right now.
Okay. Well, that's good then. Nice. Alrighty, achievements of the week. There's three of them. I'll take the one in the middle. Kali, you take the last one. Jay, you take the first one.
Alright, congratulations to Devo338 for getting 99 cooking on May 21st.
Congratulations there. J1, J2, J3, otherwise known as Trek, you got 99 crafting on the 22nd. I was there. Congratulations to him as well, so send him congratulations if you see him, because I don't think he listens to this.
And Jay, my Cini, got 99 fishing on May 25th, 2011. So congratulations to you all.
Good 99s. Good job, everyone. Alrighty, so what have we been doing? I'll go last because I got something big that I'm going to share with you guys. So let's let Jay go first.
Nothing in real life sense, pretty much. In RuneScape, I just got finished with 99 ranged, which was pretty fast. And I think I'm going to
mention that last week.
Yeah, you did. And pretty close to hit points because of that in our constitution, I should say. So that's probably my next achievement.
Well, congratulations on 99 ranged.
Yeah, we'll probably be mentioning the hit points one next week or the week after, I'd imagine.
Probably.
Alrighty.
What have I been doing? Well, not too much either, other than general spring cleaning-esque sorts of things, as well as watching hockey. it's been going pretty good, though. I went up to my cabin last week, which is probably why I wasn't here, which has no internet, which means that you have a lot more time to do things that don't require the internet.
Because, of course, when you have the internet... it's a big distraction, isn't it?
It sure is. You go on and find out all the latest news and that sort of thing. It's good to be oblivious for a few days.
Oh, you guys don't have, like, a cable there or anything? Or
no.
Any way to get news?
No, we don't have TV up there either, and unless we get satellite radio, that doesn't work either. So we're basically just, you know, ignorance is bliss, I suppose.
What about electricity and running water?
Oh, yeah, we have those, for sure. Okay, it was funny, you know, though, when we came back, like, the day of, on the 21st. And, of course, the big thing on the 21st was, oh, my God, the world is going to end. So we're driving on the way home, and I open up my computer. The first thing I see when I turned around, I was like, oh, my God, the world is going to come to an end. I'm like, oh, really? This is what people have been worrying about all week? So I thought, okay, cool. I'm going to go look up the hockey scores now. Oh, that turned out pretty funny, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. You know, the guy still is predicting that it's going to end at some point.
Yeah, in October 21st. Yeah. He miscalculated.
Again. Rather.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. If
alrighty.
People believe a missed time, then they're truly idiots.
Yep.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, a fool man can't get fooled again. One of George Bush's wonderful quotes.
Anything else?
Nope.
Alrighty. As for me this week on RuneScape, just been doing a bit of, not much really, just a clue or two, Abyssal Demons, a dungeon run here and there, just kind of still exploring what I'm going to be doing next on there. The Skiller idea is interesting. I wonder if that could work. I have to look into that more. That's on my to-do list now. Thank you, whoever had the question about Skillers.
That was Evoke.
Aside from that, just general coding, and that's what I wanted to talk about now. You guys are probably hearing this first, seeing as I'll probably make a forum posting about this later on Saturday, in case this isn't up on the forums. You're hearing it first here. Basically, what I have been working on that I haven't been able to talk about for oh so long is the next variation of our favorite thing called RuneWire, which is actually going to be getting a name change. This is the first big thing. To the Wire, because, well, it's just easier to call it the Wire on rsbnb.com. That leads into the second thing. It is going to use your rsbnb forum account to log in. So essentially, what the whole point of this release is to unify your RuneWire account and your forum account all under one forum account. So, with that being said, now there's only one RSBNB account, not two, and that makes things a whole lot simpler for you guys and simpler for us as well. And also with this release, I've thrown in a bunch of other little fixes to RuneWire. It feels faster. It's faster. I know it feels faster than the old RuneWire, which is good. Also, just little usability things that have been changed as well. The way we handle events is also changing, so... more will be in the forum post that'll be posted this weekend sometime. But as for a release date, I'm always cautious with these, but let's just say sometime within the next 2 to 3 weeks you will see it go live. We're heading into the kind of testing phase right now. Everything is just done. It's just waiting for bit of testing. So that's all that's left to do. So 2 to 3 weeks, give or take, is when you'll be seeing this next incarnation of it. So keep that in mind. RuneWire, you know, is going to be changing for the better. Either of you guys have any questions about it?
Sounds really interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing it. As for questions, not so much. You did a good job explaining it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really have any other questions either. Everything sounds like it's going to be much more streamlined, which is a good thing. And I think it's better to integrate RuneWire in with the main site as well as the forums as well. So if you can do things from there, like such as event scheduling and informer posts and stuff like that, you know. And I think if you add everything all in together,
is actually on the next thing too. That's what you and I have to talk about one day. But
yeah, I think if you add everything in together, it'll bring the greatness of RuneWire into the rest of the site.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very good idea. So kudos to you for creating this.
Yeah, well, it was something we should have done a long time ago, actually. Two things I want to mention first. First thing, people have asked for a like feature. We are not going to do a like feature on this version of RuneWire. It was mocked up. We discussed it. It was decided that we're not going to do it. That's all there is to say on that. The second thing is the type of post known as an event, that's going away. Because if you guys will notice, the community events forum is rather plain. So community events forum is where you are going to be posting your events now. And as to how you get the notification out to everyone, send us a PM and we will gladly add your event to that event rotator at the bottom. That's the whole thing. You know, you post an event, it gets added to the rotator, you get people from all of RSBNB to come. Whereas right now, it's either RuneWire or the forums, not both. So, that's how we're handling events on this one. The event-type post on the current RuneWire was good for the events crew to use and everything, but it was a little too complex for the regular user to use with the time settings and everything, you know? So this just makes it easier for the user, I think, to set up an event. You just post a topic, and then eventually we're going to have integration into RuneWire and the forums based on, you're going to be able to display all your RuneWire posts relating to your event once you set that up and everything. So that's to come in the future.
I like it.
Yeah, so as you guys are just sitting back relaxing, that means I have lots of work to do still in getting it ready and everything, but I think it should be ready. So I think that's all I want to discuss in my section. So I think that is it for RSBNB Update 310, unless you guys have anything else?
Not really, no.
Nope.
Alrighty. As I said, it's been RSBNB Update 310 with Jay.
Hello. Goodbye.
And King Kala.
Goodbye, guys. Have a good weekend.
And once again, thanks for sharing your time with us, and we will see you guys all next week. Goodbye, everyone.